Tuesday, 18th of December, Tess Teves, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel, a matter of interest.
The last time I had the honour of standing here, the subject was the calendar. And half an hour is not really enough time to say everything that is to be said. And I would like to, before we start on today's subject, just continue for a moment on the last subject. In Sedra Boy, the Pasuk says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. To which Rashi says as follows. Herehu Lavono B'Chidusha. Rabban Shem showed Moshe the new moon. And the Rashi continues, Niskashe Moshe al Moilad Halavono. Moshe had a difficulty with a Moilad Halavono, Ve'ez Shia Tiroya. What amount, what Shia should be, can be seen, V'siya Re'uya Lehikodesh. And then, with that Shia, it should be Roy Lehikodesh. Now, this is a very serious problem, because there is no Shia. Can anybody tell me, what is the Shia of the new moon? Is it a Kazayis, or is it a Kabeitza? Is it, maybe it's an Amor, or half an Amor? What are we supposed to do? Jump up to the moon and measure it? What is the Pshat? And this difficulty troubled me for many, many years. Until one evening, I was at the time living in Manchester, and I went into the Mechzika Das Samarit. But I was a minute early. So what do you do in a minute? You take a sefer out of the bookcase, and you open it and learn for a minute. What sefer? I'll be a sefer. And in this sefer, to this day I can't remember what its name is, he gave the answer. Based on what we said last time, there are two, so to speak, moilads. There is the calculated moilad, alfi cheshbon, and there's a factual moilad when you can actually see it. And in between, there is a time gap. Now, what Chazal means, kasha Moshe, Moshe had difficulty in knowing what is the minimum gap between the calculated moilad and the factual moilad. And as we know, there's a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua held there was a certain amount of time which was the minimum, and Rabbi Gamliel said, no, I've got a kabbalah, and all this is usual. Sometimes, pomim bo be'aruka, or pomim bo be'ktsara. So that's the pshat, niskashe Moshe. Moshe had a difficulty knowing, because you have to know what is the minimum, because what happens if Adam come and say, we saw the new moon? So if, when they say they saw it, the minimum time between the calculated and factual one had not elapsed, they're telling lies. So therefore Moshe had to know what exactly is the minimum shear, because Shmuel told him. Three times in the Torah we are told about the Issa of Ribbus. First in Mishpatim, then in Bahar, and then in Ki Seitse. That tells us how serious a problem Ribbus is. And in fact, Tosfos quotes a Mechilta, which we cannot find because it's not in our editions, but obviously Tosfos had such an edition, where it says that a person who takes Ribbus has no chelik in Tchias HaMeisim. Now, very serious matter. Now, the Torah Tamimo was a banker by profession. And he asked this kasha, what's the problem with Ribbus? Why does the Torah forbid it? After all, if I can borrow money at 5% and turn it over 10%, I'm very happy. Because if I wouldn't have had the capital, I would have had nothing to turn over. So if I make 10%, give 5%, I'm very happy. People go to the banks. What's the problem? The three offers says the following. Let's imagine a person is wealthy. He has enough money to invest, and the interest he gets for the money he invests is enough to cover his daily expenses. Let us say today a person needs, let's say, a family, he needs £30,000 a year. So if he has enough millions, I don't know, I'm not doing mental living now, if he has enough capital to invest, and if the bank, his bank account is credited with £30,000 per annum, what's the problem? That's a machaya. It's wonderful. I have no dagas parnosa. Isn't it terrific? No, it's not. It's a bad thing. We need to be dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam for our parnosa. Because if not, our allegiance is not as strong as it should be. All of us who need parnosa, Ribbono Shel Olam, get parnosa. And perhaps because we're misspelled for parnosa, maybe we'll take mitzvahs a little more seriously, perhaps we may have a mitzvah. But if parnosa is absolutely guaranteed, I'm independent of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's no good at all. So therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam made the Issur of Ribbis so that people shouldn't become independent for parnosa and Ribbono Shel Olam. Now I'll tell you a short story. My grandsons came to visit me, and I didn't have any beds for them. So I went across the road to the neighbour. Can you lend me a pair of folding beds? Of course, with the greatest of pleasure. I only go in for nice neighbours. And a week later, I returned these beds, and attached to one of them was a box of chocolates. And my dear friend didn't want to take them, but I insisted he did. So, you don't argue with Rabbonim, so he took them. But when I told this to a group of Talmidim, Oy, give out, rivers! I borrow two beds and give back two beds plus a box of chocolates. So I said to my Talmidim, okay, so you tell me the answer. Why is it not rivers? Maybe there's no issur of rivers with food, maybe it's only with money. Ah, nonsense! The Torah says, ribbis oichel, ribbis kol dover. If you need a couple of screws from your friend and the hardware shop is closed on Sunday afternoon and you borrow two screws and you give him back three, you're overcome or laughing. So that's not the answer. So what is the answer? So I said, all right, let's take a different, from a different angle. What would happen if I have a nasty neighbor? And he said, yes, I'll lend you these two beds, but I want in return a box of chocolates. Would he be right or would he be wrong? Is he entitled to make such a demand? Well, of course he is. There is such a thing as sechirus. The Torah talks about a secher. You are allowed to ask money or whatever you like in return of lending your goods. So, if this man wanted to be nasty and say, yes, I'll lend you the beds, out tonight, you give me a box of chocolates in addition to returning the beds, he'd be entitled to schirus. So if he's kind and doesn't ask for it, what's wrong with me being generous and giving it to him without asking? So what's the answer to the question? Why is there no ribbis? It's schirus. Now what's the difference between schirus and what's the difference between borrowing? The Torah allows me to pay for hiring goods, but not for money. So the Gemara says like this. There's a very clear difference. If I borrow money, or let us say my wife borrows from her neighbor a bag of sugar, we are going to spend the money, otherwise I wouldn't borrow it, or eat, put the sugar in a cake or kugel or whatever. When we give back what we've borrowed, we give back something different. It's not the same thing. If I borrow money, I don't give back the same money. I'm really crazy. I borrow money because I need to spend it, and the money I give back is different money. The same applies with a bag of sugar which my wife borrowed. She needs it for the cooking and the baking. She then goes to the shop and buys a different bag. Ah, if you don't give back the same thing, it's halvor. And you see, this is the advantage of Lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, we have two words for borrowing. Loiva and shoya. Loiva refers only to money or anything when you don't give back the self same object or passion. That is loyal. Shoyel is when I borrow something but give the same thing back. So therefore, since I gave back the bed I borrowed, I was entitled to show my thanks by giving a box of chocolates or money or anything you can think of, because it wasn't halvor, it was a shawl. With shoyel, of course you can give. You can ask, you can give. If you don't ask, it's shil. If you do ask for something, it's chilus. But money is halvor. You never give back the same, and that's where the issa of ribbis comes in. Now you know that in Eretz Yisrael, the frum banks display a heter iska. Now how does a heter iska work? If the Torah says you mustn't give or take ribbis, it's interesting. The issa of ribbis is even giving it, never mind taking it. You mustn't give ribbis. They say in a very light-hearted fashion, well, I say it's light-hearted. Is ribbis, is it issa v'heta, or is it choshen mishpat? Is it dinamomenus? What is it? So one says it's a machloka because it's in the Torah and the Rambam. Because the Torah puts it in Hilchas Yerubea, which is issa v'heta, and the Rambam has it in momenus. But that's just a gelechta. The fact is, it's issa v'heta. It's nothing to do with momenus at all. With the momenus, I mustn't rob you. It's a gneida, gezeila, noi, oishik. All the things I mustn't do to you. But in dinah momenus, nothing what you can't do to me. Ribbis, the loiva mustn't give. So therefore, it's issa v'heta. And if you need any proof, just turn over the pages of Perek Ezer Neshach until you come to a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and see how the Rambam passes. If it's Dina Momenus, he'd have to pass like Shmuel. If it's Issa Veheta, we're passing like Rav, and we do passing like Rav. So that proves that it is Mamish in Yonim of Issa Veheta. Now, how does the Heta Iska work? The truth is, it becomes a partnership. Let us say Reuben is a man who needs to make a parnasa. He is energetic, enthusiastic, he wants to work. Shimon is a rich man and he's quite happy to be a sleeping partner. So Reuben borrows from Shimon £100, and he doesn't really borrow 100, he only borrows 50. So 50 is borrowed, belongs to Reuben, 50 is still Shimon's property. So they now make a shutfus, a partnership, and they are equal partners in this business, because Reuben's put in £50, which is valid, but I'm not concerned where he got his money from. Reuben puts £50 in, Shimon puts £50 in. So they are now partners. Now in a partnership, each partner must do half the work. But in this case, Reuben does all the work. Now why does he do that? It's because Shimon has lent him some capital. That's it. You mustn't do it. So the Gemara says, what happens is this. When it comes to share the profits, Reuben must take 60%, or let's say 55%. So the extra profit he takes is because he's doing the work of his sleeping partner. So therefore, he's entitled to it. He's entitled to half the profits because half the capital is his. He's entitled a bit extra because he does the work instead of Shimon. Now, what happens if there's a loss? So, if Reuben decides he'll take 60% of the profit and Shimon takes 40%, when there's a loss, they share it 50-50. Or it could be that they make an agreement that if there's a loss, Shimon will take 60% and Reuben 40, and they will share the profits. It's open to them. But either way, Reuben is not allowed to do anything for Shimon, nothing at all, without getting paid for it, because until they finish the partnership, he is a laver. When they split up, he gives back their money, fine. But till then, he is a laver. A laver mustn't do anything for the malver, nothing at all. And some people even must not to say thank you to the person who gives them a loan, in case the thank you is ribbis devorim. It's often a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the it's of ribbis devorim, if the loiver didn't normally say good morning to the malver, he mustn't now start saying good morning to him, because he's borrowed money from him. That's ribbis devorim. I was asked by one of my members, he wanted to buy a house, and the mortgage offered wasn't enough, so a kind gentleman lent him some 5,000 or 10,000 pounds, and then it comes to Purim, may I send him Shlachmonas? I said, no, you mustn't, because that's ribbis. At this moment in time, you owe him money. Last year you didn't send him any Shlachmonas, did you? Because if you did last year, you can do it today, but last year you didn't. Now you're going to, now all of a sudden he's your best friend, he's lent you money. No, I passed him no Shlachmonas. Now, as we said, a heter iska is really a shutfus between the loiver and the malver, and we hope there'll be a profit, but there could be a loss, in which case the noisen has to lose more than the makabel, because the makabel is working for the noisen, so they can't share the loss. And it happened not so long ago that a man in Eretz Yisrael borrowed money from a bank which displayed the heter iska, and after a time he explained to the bank manager that the money I borrowed I invested, and it flopped, and there is a loss. So not only am I not going to pay you any ribbis, I'm not even going to pay you back all your capital. So of course the bank, which just displayed it, because that's what one does, took him to court, and the court, never mind the bezin, the court upheld the decision. Because you can't just display a heter iska and not mean it. If you display a heter iska, it means that all money borrowed from this bank is on the basis of a heter iska, and as we explained, it's a partnership. If one partner loses, the other loses. It is obvious now that you cannot borrow money on the strength of a heter iska if the money is to pay off a loan, or debt, or whatever. A heter iska only works if the money is invested. Now, how does a mortgage work? If I borrow money to buy a house, I'm not investing it, I'm not turning the money over, there's no profit on the balance sheet, so how does it work? Well, that is quite simple. Let us say my house costs 100,000 and I've got a mortgage of 90,000 and 10,000 I have my own. So what really happens is we are shutfin in the house. If I only live it and not the bank, then I'm living on 9/10 of that house belongs to the bank, so I have to pay them rent for their 9/10, don't I? If I live in your house, I've got to pay rent. So one can work it out that the ribbis which they calculate is actually rent. So since the house I'm living in is only 1/10 mine and 9/10 belongs to the building society, so they're entitled to charge me rent. And you can work it out that the rent is the amount of capital and interest, and somehow with the last payment you're coin of the lot or something like that. So that can be done. Now, we've just said there's ribbis the oraisa and there's ribbis the rabbonim. I just mentioned, for example, saying thank you or sending shlachmonas to a person who you didn't normally send to. Now, that would be ribbis the rabbonim. Why would it be ribbis the rabbonim? Because there was no condition made in the first place. Ribbis the oraisa is only where the loan is given on the understanding that the loiver pays it back plus so much interest. But if there's no understanding of any ribbis, but the loiver just gives it out of the goodness of his heart, that's ribbis de rabbono. Or what would happen, for example, if the loiver lives in London and he needs to borrow money, without interest of course, from the malva, but the loiver also has a flat at the seaside. The malva says to the loiver, look, you're staying in London over the summer holidays, can I use your flat? The answer is yes, but you have to pay rent. You can't live in it neither for nothing and even for rent below the normal price, because that would be ribbis d'rabbanon, because normally I wouldn't allow you to use my flat for anything but the full rent. If now I'm allowing you to live free or less, that's because you kindly lent me money. That's ribbis. It's only ribbis d'rabbanon because we didn't make it tonight. I didn't say I'm lending you on condition that I can live rent free. That would be ribbis d'raisa. Now what is the practical difference between ribbis d'rabbanon and ribbis d'raisa? The answer is this. Ribbis d'raisa is yoitza b'dayonim. Ribbis d'rabbanon is not. So if you have a case where two people, perhaps they didn't know, they didn't realize, and they made the normal agreement of ribbis, and the loiver paid it, he can then go to the Beis Din and get back every single penny of the ribbis he paid. It's yoitza b'dayonim. If it's ribbis d'rabbanon, then he can't. He shouldn't have paid it, but if you did, you can't have your money back. A balabos from a different shul came to my shir on Shabbos afternoon, and we were learning Hilchis Ribbis. And he said, I have a shayla. All right, what's your shayla? Well, we used to live in some other part of London, and we decided for the sake of the children to move to Golders Green, we do schools, etc. And I didn't have enough money for my deposit. But my wife works, and she has her own bank account, and of course it's invested in a deposit account, and it gets so much interest. So my wife said, I'm quite happy to lend you as much as you need, provided you compensate me for the interest I have lost. And the husband, of course, not being a Golders Green, I wouldn't know this, didn't know that this is Mamisha Issa de Araisa, because he agreed to pay his wife back more than she gave him. The fact that she was losing by it is Loi Male Veloi Moiri. It makes no difference whatsoever. So the halacha is absolutely crystal clear. If you've got Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven needs a loan from the bank, but no, your credit standing is not good. Sorry. So Reuven says to Shimon, look, you were well in with a bank manager, you borrow money for ostensibly for yourself, and you will lend it to me, and the ribbis which you have to pay, I will compensate. That, it sounds fair, fair enough. Why should Shimon lose in order to lend money? Nothing doing. It's Issa de Araisa. It cannot be done. So somebody asked me, but it's not fair. Shimon is helping Reuven, and it's cost. Why should that be? So I said, listen, my dear friend, when your son was bar mitzvah, did you expect the sofer to make him a pair of tefillin free? Oh, no, no, no. And when you're making mitzvah of matzahs, do you expect to get your matzahs totally free? No, never expected such a thing. So why do you expect to be able to do a mitzvah of lending money to your friend and shouldn't cost you? Every mitzvah costs. And if it doesn't, it's not worth much. You know that Ephraim, a very kind gentleman, offered Avraham a plot of land for the Kvura free. So he said, nothing doing. But kesef mole, mitzvahs which cost nothing are worth nothing. And history repeated itself. David had to buy a plot of land to build a Mizbeach at the end of the plague, at the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis. And Ravno said, have it for nothing. So he said, no. That's not our way. Mitzvahs must cost money and effort. And we don't take mitzvahs for nothing. So, in case of Talvez Avni, it's a mitzvah, say, the Raisa. Why do you expect it? It shouldn't cost you anything. And therefore, if you lend somebody money, whether it costs you from a point of view that you have to pay money to the bank because you borrowed it, or whether you lose the interest you would get from the money invested, believe me, Rabbi Sai, it's a better investment. Lend money to a yid, invest it in a mitzvah rather than in your credit, your deposit account, and get money. It's a better currency, mitzvah. Not here, but up there.
The bank expense.
Expense is a different thing. It might be that if Shimon has incurred bank expenses, then Reuben can pay him that, because that's not riddus, that's the cost of whatever it is. Now, you know, Rabbi Yisai, in din of woman, there's a din of mechila. Whether you're a ganet or a gazlan, or oishik schat sochir, or oinoa, or name it whatever it is, the victim can be moichel. The question is with ribbis. We said ribbis ketsutza is yoytse vidayonim. Does mechila help? Now, as we said before, if it's dina momonos, the dina momonos, mechila helps. If it's isa the heta, mechila doesn't help. So there are poskim who paskim that the loiva cannot be moichel the ribbis, because since the malva has to give it him back, so the loiva can't be moichel. But we don't paskim like that. We paskin the mechila does help. Why? Because after the ribbis has been given, and the bezin paskins, right, Mr. Malva, you must give back to Mr. Loiva every penny of ribbis. From that time onwards, it is mumen. The bezin is paskin, but the Malva must give the Loiva mumen. And then the Loiva can say, I am moichel. And that's what happened in the case between the man and the woman. The man asked me, then do I actually get back from my wife the ribbis I gave her? I said, well, it depends. If you want to be moichel your wife, you can be moichel. If not, you can go to the bank and get every penny back. I'll tell you another story. Just after the war, Parnassus was very difficult, and my parents were forced to take in lodgers. And one of these lodgers was a student. And this student had a watch. And this watch broke. And he took it to the watchmaker. And the watchmaker told him, it'll cost you £1 to repair. And one day, the watchmaker phones up our student and he says, Mr. Pliny, your watch is ready to collect. But Mr. Pliny didn't have the pound. His student grant had not yet come in. So he said to me, look, he said, if you've got a pound, you go to the watchmaker, get the watch out, and you can wear it until I pay you back the pound you laid out for me. So I said, nothing doing, that's mamish ribbis. Does he normally allow me to wear his watch?
Yeah.
No. Why now does he? Because he owes me £1. That's ribbis.
If you make the same watch.
Of course. But he's allowing me to wear it. He is allowing me to wear it because he owes me money. And if he wouldn't owe me money, he'd be wearing it, wouldn't he? So that's ribbis. The fact that I am now wearing his watch, whatever it's worth, is not the point. He normally wears it. He's given it to me to wear free because I laid out some money for him. That's ribbis. Admittedly, of course, that's ribbis to Rabbanon. But ribbis it is. People, unfortunately, don't know all the ins and outs. Now, what happens... Oh, sorry, I've run out of time. I've come.